And I'd like to welcome you to the 13th annual remembering celebration of Arthur Brown. It seems like we've been doing this a long time, but then it seems like such a short time. We're at the 13th year, but we're moving toward a great celebration that will also include Malik King, who worked a long time with Arthur, with most of the poets here at Duff's. Certainly worked with me, and most everybody knew how great he was. So we're working up toward a combination celebration for the two of them, who were certainly brothers in spirit, had a great love for each other for many years. And I think Malik would be very, very pleased that he was able to share in the celebration. We were able to include him, and he could share in the celebration of our love for he and Arthur at this time. So look out next year. It's coming a real good time for that celebration, and the Brown family is present. Arthur's mother, his sister, his sister-in-law, his niece. We're very pleased to see them, and that they could just even make it tonight. I look at Virgie Brown, and I always, wherever I go and I read that poem about the black woman, I think of her. And someday I'm going to do something real special with that for her, because she is the woman of the hour tonight, seriously. And next year, we hope we're all out here again and together, and we'll just have people standing all outside waiting to get in, right? Well, normally many of you come because you know that probably I'm going to be reading poetry here on Arthur Brown's celebration, or J.D.'s going to be playing, or the musicians and all that. Well, tonight we all are here, and I am not your featured poet for this evening. If you want to see me, you have to come back in April. Am I correct? We do have, for the first time, we have moved in passing down the cup from generation to generation. I shouldn't say down, but passing on. And there's a couple that will be featured tonight. They did not know Arthur as a... I hope they read a lot of his work, though. Y'all read his work? Okay. But it's one of our goals is to include, to break that cycle of the circle. And I hope they don't fall into it. And that is like only the people that knew who or that is this or that to be a part of that. We are so happy that we have a new generation of artists that are coming on, and we want to use the platform here in the celebration of Arthur to introduce them to some. Some of you know them since they're well known here. I happened to meet Jabari Asing some years ago here in St. Louis when I was running the writer's workshop. And he had come back here to St. Louis from having attended school in Illinois, am I correct? And my memory's pretty good. And I remember him coming in, and he was on fire. He was ready to go. And he had his own ideas where he wanted to go. And he's probably moving in that direction. And he brought with him, not to the workshop, but Liana, who is his better half. And I met them when they first had two little children, and I think they want a whole lot more. Anyway, they're going to be here performing for you. Jabari Asim, who's the book editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, maybe Post-Dispatch, assistant editor of Drum Voices Review. He has a lot of accolades since the first time I met him. And founding editor of Eyeball, a literary arts journal. His fiction appears in Brother Man, a new anthology from Random House, available in March. Liana Asim is co-founder of the Pomosia Theater Workshop and director of many stage productions, including We Stand Akimbo, New Blood Symphony, and Didn't It Rain? Well, they have also married their arts. Have performed a ceremony of their arts of marriage, and they are going to be featured tonight as our special guests in the Harlem Renaissance. I'd like for you to welcome Jabari and Liana, or Liana and Jabari. I see. Thank you for coming and being our special guest tonight.
Dearest Clara, sweet potato woman of mine, I would offer humble greetings, but I ain't in a humble mood. See, the sun's coming up on a perfect Harlem morning, and where there's sweet golden sunshine, there's opportunity. And speaking of opportunity, that's the name of a magazine edited by Professor Charles S. Johnson. The Urban League sponsors this publication to shine some light on the achievements of our country's most talented Negroes. The folks at Opportunity threw a blast at the Fifth Avenue. That's a restaurant, Clara Doll. And all manner of stars were there. James Weldon Johnson, don't you know? They gave out prizes to the colored community's best and brightest artists. County Cullen, Langston Hughes, I'm telling you, stars, Clara, stars, fine food and fashion. We're talking top hat tails and brown skin service, which speaks to my state of mind. Who can't help but feel proud in such high-stepping company, especially when said correspondent did exchange a bon mot or two with Professor Johnson himself. Said he'd had a chance to look at the work I'd sent him, allowed as how he might find space for a poem or two by said correspondent in next month's Opportunity. I told you coming to Harlem was the right idea. Kinda difficult to build my reputation down there in Chitlin' Corners, sweetness. Soon enough, I'll be putting on the Ritz with you, my lovely intended, sparkling by my side. Harlem, sweet Harlem, Negro capital of the Western world. There's so much music coming out windows on 125th Street. Every footstep brings a different sound. Folks keep their chins up high and possibilities on everybody's tongue. There's something in the air, honey face, and forgive me for saying so, but it sure ain't the scent of magnolias. Come, let us roam the night together, singing, I love you. Across the Harlem rooftops, moon is shining. Night sky is blue. Stars are great drops of golden dew. Down the street, a band is playing. I love you. Come, let us roam the night together, singing. Until my next correspondence, I remain most unhumbly yours, McDonald Delaney Jr.
Say what you want about people being stars, Mac. But down here in Chitlin' Corners, stars still mean the light from God's heaven peeking through. Little spots of glory for souls to pray on. Last night, Mama Collins held a service in the clearing. Not so many worshipers anymore, since every other soul is racing north as fast as their dreams can carry them. Still, Mama Collins remains touched by the anointing hand. You couldn't have already forgotten how she can make the rocks and trees cry out like moaning souls. Last night, Mama prayed and sang like always, and I sang along with her. But I couldn't help feeling guilty. Supposed to have my mind set on Jesus, but close my eyes, and all I see is your grinning face. Thousands of miles away, and you're still messing up my concentration. Since you left, I have seen nothing but you. Every day has been your face, and every night your hand, and every rock and every flower and tree has been a touch of you. Nowhere have I seen anything else but you. Wish I was where you are, Mac, and I know that day is coming. If it wasn't for the world turning and the seasons changing, it would seem like time is standing still. Blood-burning moon is coming, Mac, and Mama Collins, me, everybody, we all nervous. All our insides are wrecked by the red, red moon, and we weave songs against its spell. The moon glows like a fired pine knot, and we know somewhere in the cane, the pines, the magnolias, black skin gets torn tonight. The moon over the turpentine woods, the southern night full of stars, great big yellow stars. What's a body but a toy? Juicy bodies of nigger wenches, blue black against black fences. Oh, you little bastard boy, what's a body but a toy?
Now, now, Clara, now, now. Hold yourself together, sweet potato. I got enough to worry about just holding on to body and soul without thinking about you falling apart. You know, sometimes I lie in my little room and it all comes back to me. The heat, the back-breaking work, the straining to find a bit of joy in the midst of sweat and sorrow, the way it gets real peaceful-like, so absolutely still, before suddenly the southern sky starts to boil. The wind wakes up and runs screaming through the cane. The moon starts turning wildly in the sky. The rocks and trees glow red, and all of us, we turn to one another and we wonder without speaking. The unvoiced question bounces off of every heaving brow, thuds in every throbbing throat. Who will it be this time? Who's going to die tonight? When white death comes roaring through the canebrake, laughing beneath the blood-burning moon, who will it carry off in its bone-white claws? Have you forgotten, Clara Doll? Have you forgotten where I was the night Bob Stone got mad hungry for Louisa? Come stalking the quarter with naked need glinting from his teeth? When Tom Burwell stepped between the moon and the devil and cut Bob Stone down to size? Have you forgotten how I watched through the factory window when the mob burned Tom Burwell to a mound of ash? Every tongue of flame was Louisa's tongue, wailing in vain, wailing in vain.
Note somebody's about to die. Heard a owl a hootin'. Note somebody's about to die. Put my head underneath the cover. Started to moan and cry. Hound dogs barking means he's gonna leave this world. Can't you hear the hound dogs barking means he's gonna leave this world? Oh Lord, have mercy on a poor little colored girl. and he sure do treat me fine. I in heaven, Jesus, please don't take this man of mine.
I heard the mob yell, Clara. Its yell echoed against the skeleton stone walls and sounded like 100 yells, like 100 mobs yelling. Its yell thudded against the thick front wall and fell back. Ghost of a yell slipped through the flames and out the great door of the factory. It fluttered like a dying thing down the dusty quarters. Clara, the echo of that yell resounds in every line I write. So I don't need you to remind me. I lie down in the shadow, no longer the light of my dream before me. Above me, only the thick wall, only the shadow. My hands, my dark hands, break through the wall. Find my dream. Help me to shatter this darkness, to smash this night, to break this shadow into 1,000 lights of sun, into 1,000 whirling dreams of sun. I'm sorry, Clara dear, to have fallen so deeply into melancholy. It's just that sometimes the brightness of my future seems dim in the face of my empty present, my empty arms. I'll close this letter with a poem. I would liken you to a night without stars, were it not for your eyes. I would liken you to a sleep without dreams, were it not for your songs. Sweet dreams, yours, Mac.
Mac Donald Delaney Jr. You know it scares me when you get so down. You simply must remain the optimistic young artist, all spit, sparkle, and potential, oblivious to all that the frozen north and race hate can fling at you. Yes, you do that, and leave the melancholy to me. Now tell me about joy. About rent parties at the Dunbar Apartments and salons on Stryver's Row. I want to hear about stomping at the Nest Club, that outrageous Bruce Nugent. And just what was it this Zora Neale Hurston said that made Du Bois blush? I need the good stuff, Mac, as much as you need to chase down your fortune and hold it in your hand. Some hand. Speaking of hands, that Lee Miller sure got some ham-sized mitts on him. No wonder he can chop cane like 10 men. Not that I paid any attention, mind you, but word is he's been admiring me since you've been gone. Why, flowers! How nice of you, Lee. Thank you kindly. Did you pick 'em yourself?
No, ma'am. I took them off Woodrow.
Lee, you shouldn't have. Maybe he planned to give them to his sweetie. But I guess there's no harm done. His sweetie's kind of homely. Oh, well, thanks again. Some folks still wonder why I took up with a poet, you know. I just tell them I'm naturally attracted to a man who dreams, because a man who dreams understands that others dream as well. Remember that poem you wrote, Mac? You wrote, I take my dreams and make of them a bronze vase and a wide round fountain with a beautiful statue in its center and a song with a broken heart, and I ask you, do you understand my dreams? Sometimes you say you do, and sometimes you say you don't. Either way, it doesn't matter. I continue to dream. Not even distance can prevent our dreaming together, Mac. Dreaming of you, always. And not even thinking about that, Lee Miller. Love, Clara.
Dearest Clara, loving, loyal Clara. Faithful and true Clara. So you want news, eh? Well, how about this? Dr. Alan Locke is putting together a new anthology featuring Harlem artists. And guess who's in? That's right, McDonald Delaney Jr., talented, handsome, and humble as ever. It will be called The New Negro. Is that bold enough for you? Dr. Locke is a brilliant man, definitely one of the talented 10th Dr. Du Bois is always talking about. And talk about a way with words. Dr. Locke says the younger generation is vibrant with a new psychology and a new spirit is awake in the masses. He's right, Clara. And there's no better place than right here to see the new spirit unfold. The pulse of the Negro world has begun to beat in Harlem. You'll have no trouble stepping to his rhythm, honey face. There's a place, too, for a woman who dares to dream, who rises above and conquers false attitudes with moral strength, as one writer put it. The wind of the race's destiny stirs more briskly because of her striving. Clara, few folks, male or female, strive as hard as Zora Neale. At Wallace Thurman's soiree, she told this one on herself.
The other day I needed a nickel to go downtown and was wondering where on earth would I get it. As I approached the subway, I was stopped by a blind beggar holding out his cup. Please help the blind, a nickel for the blind. Shoo, I walked right up to him and said, I need a nickel more than you do today. I'll take this 5 cents from you and next time I'll give it back. And I went on my way downtown.
About these parties, it seems every night there's a function to suit the taste of new Negroes of every stripe. Jesse Fawcett's get-togethers are seriously literary, heavy on the poetry, light on the libations. Taylor Gordon's fiestas are, shall we say, more festive. His current affair, and I say current because it began 3 days ago and is still running strong, was written up in yesterday's Interstate Tatler.
What a crowd! All classes and colors met face to face. Ultra aristocrats, bourgeois, communists, Park Avenueers galore, bookers, publishers, Broadway celebs, and Harlemites giving each other the once over. The social revolution was on. And yes, Lady Nancy Kennard was there, all in black, she would, with 12 of her grand bracelets, and the entertainment on the up and up into swell dance music was injected African drums that played havoc with blood pressure. Jimmy Daniels sang his gigolo hits. Gus Simons, the Harlem crooner, made the river stay away from his door. And Taylor himself brought out everything from hot dog to bravo when he made high C.
Not all the get-togethers are in Harlem, mind you. That's right. Georgia Douglas Johnson has a very serious salon in Washington, D.C. that Langston tells me has been going on for years. Please note that said poet, previously referred to in other correspondence as His Highness Mr. Hughes, now bears the simple designation Langston. When feeling particularly cheeky, I call him Lang. You see, membership in the New Negro Club does have its privileges. Anyway, I was speaking of Georgia Douglas Johnson. You remember her poem, The Heart of a Woman?
The Heart of a Woman? Goes forth with the dawn, as a low bird, soft winging, so restlessly on, afar o'er life's turrets and veils does it roam, in the wake of those echoes the heart calls home. The heart of a woman falls back with the night, and enters some alien cage in its plight, and tries to forget it has dreamed of the stars, while it breaks on the sheltering bars. And if Harlem's such a hot time in the old town, what's Georgia Douglas doing in Washington? Is Harlem so hard on the heart of a woman that its brownstones become too much to bear? What's a woman's place in all this newness? When the songs are sung and the histories written, will they all be about Langston Hughes and County Cullen? Mac, all you blustering poets must remember the women, too. Women like me, whose shiny dreams lure them from the bleeding south. This hell here is at least familiar. Its pine and magnolia scents are as much a part of us as the howl of hounds, the lash of whips, the sweetness of cane. I thank God for the Mama Collinses, the Zora Neales, and Georgia Johnsons of this world. They cry for all of us whose screams and songs are often met with silence and confusion. Can you not hear us, they write, or are you deaf to our pleading? Can you not see us, or are you blind to our weeping? We yearn to hear the beauty of truth from your lips as rain drips from trees on the budding flowers neath its feet. We look to see the naked loveliness of things through your eyes, a barren cliff made a crimson rise of earth's breast against the sky. Mac, as Harlem becomes our new and beauteous shrine, keep space for me and my sisters in your gathering of stars. Love, Clara.
There is but one star in my heaven, and her name is Clara. And she knows her lover's heart remains firmly in her hands. She also knows her lover's mind is as open and flexible as his bed is lonely and cold. As for woman's place in all this newness, it's anywhere she wants to be. Your sisters are writing our lives, Clara, even as we breathe. Somewhere, young Dorothy West is chronicling the fate of souls like ours, struggling from south to north in the great migration. She sits at her typewriter, and words and worlds emerge from the blank whiteness of the page.
It occurred to him, as he eased past the bulging knees of an Irish wash lady and forced an apologetic passage down the aisle of the crowded car, that more than anything in all the world, he wanted not to go home. He began to wish passionately that he had never been born, that he had never been married, that he had never been the means of life's coming into the world.
Now, Angelina Grimke, a true aristocrat of this Renaissance, she writes to remind us what we're running from.
An orderly mob in an orderly manner on a Sunday morning, I am quoting the newspapers, broke into the jail, took him out, slung him up to the limb of a tree, riddled his body with bullets, saturated it with coal oil, lighted a fire underneath him, gouged out his eyes with red hot irons, burnt him to a crisp, and then sold souvenirs of him. Ears, fingers, toes. His teeth brought $5 each.
And we all know Jessie Fawcett, of course. Her work as literary editor at The Crisis is our saving grace. She and Dr. Du Bois make quite a professional team. Word is, she wants it to be more than professional. But remember, you did not hear that from me. She keeps writing these lovelorn poems, full of longing and despair, and some of us see the genius of Harlem in every line.
And there's a man whose lightest word can set my chilly blood afire. Fulfillment of his least behest defines my life's desire. But he will none of me, nor I of you, nor you of her. 'Tis said, the world is full of jests like these. I wish that I were dead.
Yes, lovely Jessie has a phantom lover that drives her mad. I'm not making fun of her, mind you. I, too, sing of absence and loneliness. Sometimes, when you think you hear hounds howling in the far-off woods, it's really the fading notes of a blues sung in Harlem, the last faint wails of a lonesome troubadour, hugging his typewriter and pining away for his sweet Clara.
Dear Mac, I've always known better than to believe everything a poet says. They can wrap up anything in flattery and flowery words if they've a mind to. Why, Lee Miller says, never mind that Lee Miller. He's nothing but a pretty smile and a pile of muscles. At least that's what the other women tell me, because I've never managed to look at him, you know, that long. I may be a year or two younger than you, McDonald Delaney Jr., but that doesn't mean you're the spider and I'm your fly. You keep sending me sweet words, sure enough, but it's your actions that concern me. If I find out that you've been in the sporting life with some of them Harlem showgirls, there'll be hell to pay, and what for? Rufus Young said he spent 2 whole days in Harlem 2 weeks ago, and he couldn't find you anywhere. Said he went to your church on Sunday, and you weren't even there. Sinning in lines messed up many a good thing, so don't consider yourself no exception. Lee's sister, Maybelline, says she thinks Rufus Young is covering for you, helping you weave your web of deceit. She says Rufus couldn't stop running his mouth about all the fine women in Harlem. He says all this migrating up north ain't about jobs and dreams. It's about women. How fine they are. How they wear their hair in curly little ringlets and crown it with high hats. How the women smile so boldly at porters and poets alike. How they don't care anything about a down-home stuff like virtue and salvation. Let me tell you something, sir. There's more than one pine in the woods, and every one of them is full of sap. And don't you try to tell me Rufus is the only one carrying on so. You poets do the same, just with different language. Remember County Cullen's advice to a young boy?
Of course. That brown girl's swagger gives a twitch to beauty like a queen. Lad, never damn your body's itch when loveliness is seen. For there is ample room for bliss and pride and clean brown limbs, and lips know better how to kiss than how to raise white hems. Mm-hmm. And when your body's death gives birth to soil for spring to crown, man will not ask if that rare earth was white flesh once or brown. Now, sweet potato, I swear you were going Frankie Johnny on me if I didn't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
The Harlem air is heavy with tales of lovers slashing each other to bits with razors. Like white people haven't already come up with enough reasons to kill us all. If you don't cut me with a length of steel, your words will do just fine. Your suspicion wounds me, Clara. You stick the knife in with your suppositions, then you twist it by telling me you let good-for-nothing Lee Miller's sister plant such wicked thoughts in your fertile mind. I never said Harlem's streets and parlors weren't filled with luscious examples of the sweeter sex.
Mm-hmm.
But Clara, think about it. The ripest fruit of our turbulent South is black womanhood, rising up out of the cane like flowers bursting with beauty, glistening with sweat and straining under cotton shifts. They are, as Gene Toomer would say, perfect as dusk when the sun goes down. If your southern sisters, awash in wondrous sunsets, are not enough to tempt me, shouldn't I also be immune to Harlem's swifter, bolder fruit? Until you come, I am married to my typewriter, hoping to see my work embraced by my fellow strivers and dreamers, especially those who struggle so far away from home and love. We are children of the sun. Rising sun, weaving southern destiny, waiting for the mighty hour when our Shiloh shall appear.
Oh, my sweet Mac, how can I convince you that I haven't lost my mind? How can I make you believe that it's just feverish longing that makes me go on so? I hear the night wind chattering in the tall pines, and the moon turns it into the laughter of Harlem showgirls. Add that laughter to that of Maybelline Miller and all the women round here. They tell me I'm a fool not to want handsome Lee, that I'm just plain stupid to fret away my days longing for a dreamer who's only in love with the dream. They tell me the next time I see you, you'll be sitting tall in a motor car with a blushing, light-skinned beauty by your side. You'll think I'm even crazier when I tell you what I've been doing. I go down to the clearing, to the same place where Mama Collins holds her services. I turn in the silver moon, singing softly to myself. I feel like Jesse Fawcett longing for Du Bois. I imagine I'm dancing with you. I feel like Ma Rainey belting a lonesome blues, the moonlight glinting off my gold teeth. I sing a sweet, sad song, Mac. Sweet, sad, and true. Ain't got nobody in all this world. Ain't got nobody but myself. I's gonna quit my frowning and put my troubles on the shelf. I've got the weary blues, and I can't be satisfied. I've got the weary blues, and I can't be satisfied. I ain't happy no more, and I wish that I had died. Love you, Mac.
Dear Clara, I could take the Harlem night and wrap it around you. Take the neon lights and make a crown. Take the Lenox Avenue buses, taxis, subways, and for your love song, tone their rumble down. Take Harlem's heartbeat, make a drum beat, put it on a record, let it whirl, and while we listen to it play, dance with you till day. Last night, I tucked an image of you in my vest pocket, right next to my heart, and carried you off to Alelia Walker's house. Harlem is truly center of the world when Miss Walker throws a ball.
Tell me, have you heard?
Heard what, baby?
If not, then pass the word.
Pass it on.
Miss Walker's having a ball.
Do tell.
Prepare for the biggest thrill.
Go ahead.
In the history of Sugar Hill, Miss Walker's having a ball.
Sounds good to me.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Tonight's the night, and there's no doubt about it. Miss Walker's having a ball.
I know that's right.
Miss Walker's having a ball. Yeah.
She's an heiress, you know. It's her mother's invention that allows these Harlem women to sport that fancy hair you've heard about. Madam C.J. Walker was a millionaire, and when she died, Alelia inherited her huge fortune. If you can imagine an apartment big enough to hold 100 people, you're imagining the space Alelia calls home. It's like the New York subway at rush hour when all the guests arrive. All manner of fine folks spill all over the entrance, lobby, steps, hallway, everywhere, seeing and being seen. And all kinds of people, too. Not just the literary crowd. You've got poets, all right, but numbers kings and racketeers doing the Charleston right beside them. Alelia fancies herself a goddess of joy, and I guess in a way she is. She's a gorgeous, dark Amazon who likes to wear a silver turban, so she looks the part.
and she spends a lot of money to keep herself and her many friends happy. But I have it on good authority that she'd gladly give it all away in exchange for her true love's devotion. Now, how about that? The richest black woman in the country is poorer in spirit than a couple of dreamers from the land of Lonesome Pines. My spirit grows ever richer as my love for you grows stronger. Yours, Mac. Dearest Clara, Mac, I have to tell you that I've made up my mind. I want you to join me in New York. Enough of this being apart. A dream is twice as strong when hearts dream together. You've got skills, Clara, and you can work as hard as anyone. Let's dream together, Clara. Together we can turn this town upside down and let the world know of the joy we have inside. To dream together and fling our arms wide in the face of the sun. Dance, whirl, whirl, till the quick day is done. Rest at pale evening, a tall, slim tree. Night coming tenderly, black like me.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.